Had small children or has been around, or I mean, even for those, I guess, who have done babysitting or anything like that, seeing children learn and grow and use that information makes it pretty clear to see how valuable it is for people to learn. You think of the scientific advancements that have been made by people who have been to years and years of school, people that have just spent a lot of time learning and trying to benefit other people with their knowledge, benefit themselves with their knowledge. Tonight I've been tasked with talking about the topic, we are a preaching and teaching people. If you think with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There are two ways that someone can learn the truth. They can come in contact with the Word of God. One, either they come in contact with it by reading it themselves, as we think about the Ethiopian eunuch that was doing that, trying to learn of his own accord. And there's people that learn by being taught, people that learn by hearing the truth. And that happens by people preaching and by people teaching. So we're going to be talking about preaching and teaching. I wanted to show what the separation of those two things were, to define them both, to see if there's a difference between the two and what that difference is. One dictionary I found defined teaching in the following way: as the act of instructing someone in matters of faith and morals, especially in the home or church. And we know, of course, that teaching was a major aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. When it comes to teaching as opposed to preaching, it's often more of a dialogue, a conversation that happens between two people. You think of being in a Bible class versus sitting through a sermon. A lot of times there's questions that are asked and a back and forth that takes place. Whereas preaching is more of, or the definition I found for preaching was, the announcing of the good news of God by his servants through the faithful revelation of God's will, the exposition of God's word, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And again, we know that Jesus additionally spent a lot of time, a lot of his time on this earth, preaching and proclaiming the truth to people. Preaching is more of talking at somebody as opposed to talking with somebody, if you will. Teaching, again, is a little bit more of a dialogue, of a back and forth between two people, and preaching is more of what I'm doing right now, because all of you are a captive audience. And so what we're going to look at this evening is the fact that we are a preaching and teaching people. We're going to ask, why should we preach and teach, what should we preach and teach, and how we should preach and teach. Starting again with that first point of why. Why is it that we should preach and that we should teach? First, we should share the gospel in this way because it is a divine command. If you remember with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15, we read one account of the Great Commission. We see an example of this divine command that is given to us. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 as well. And he said to them, of course, him being Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Cut and dry, plain and simple. Not real easy to misunderstand that one. Preach the word to all people. Another example of the Great Commission can be found in the book of Matthew. If we turn in our Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and look at verses 18 through 20, you see Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The scripture in Mark emphasized the word preaching, and the scripture in Matthew in verse 20 mentioned the word teaching. Again, the idea that we have the divine command from Christ to spread his truth, to spread the word of God to all people so that all may come in contact with it. Another reason that we should, or why we should share the truth, in addition to it being a divine command, which of course is reason enough in itself, but we need to share the truth because people need the truth, because people are lost without it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can remember in James chapter 1 and verse 15 that it is written, sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And a few chapters later in the book of Romans, Romans 6:23 also tells us that the wages of sin is death. We preach the gospel because of what the rest of that verse says. The second half of Romans 6:23 says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus is the means by which we find the safety from that death, by which we can find forgiveness of that sin that causes that death. We preach the gospel and we need to share the truth because people need to know it, because people are lost and they need to know that they can be made safe. We need to preach and teach the gospel because that's the example that Christ set for us. In early on in the book of Mark, if we remember Mark, the first chapter, we read a purpose statement for Christ's life in the first chapter of Mark in verse 38. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 38, we can read, "But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.'" Preaching is a major part of the reason that Christ came to this world, and it's the example that he set for us. In his ministry, or his ministry on this earth, involved a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching. Other examples of this can be found in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, and later in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Preaching and teaching was a major part of Christ's ministry. And again, those verses were Matthew 4, 23, and 11, 1 through 5, for anybody trying to write them down. Evangelism is another word for, or is another term for sharing the truth. It has often been described as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. If you were in a situation in an earthly sense, kind of sticking with that example, if you were in a situation that you were poor, that you had a problem finding food, and you were, there's 100 different scenarios that might come from, but if you were in a situation that you had a great need that you couldn't fulfill yourself, whether it was not having enough food, not having shelter, something like that, and you found a resource that provided it, but not only had enough to provide for you, but had an overabundance that could provide enough for anybody, wouldn't you go and tell your friends and tell your family and tell anyone you could find, "Hey, I know the problems that you're having. I've experienced those, and I know how you can be made whole. I know how I found a place that you can fix those problems." If you were in that, if you had that opportunity, wouldn't you take it to help other people? Because that's the exact situation that we find ourselves in. We have the key. We have the opportunity. We have the truth to show others what they need to be saved. And it is not only our duty, but it is our privilege and our honor to share that truth with other people. Evangelism and sharing the truth is the means by which the word gets to the people. In preaching and teaching, our job is not to tell people what our opinion is, but our job is to link the lost with the truth and be the bridge that links them together, to be the people, or to be the means by which God's word can get into people. Because God's word, it has the power in and of itself. It's our job to show them what that truth is so that they can see that they have that opportunity of being saved. Why should we preach and teach? We preach and teach because it is a divine command. Because people need the truth and they're lost without it. Because that is the example that Christ set for us. And because we are beggars and we have found bread and we know where we know where others can find bread as well. If we know why we should preach and teach the gospel, the next thing we're going to look at is what. What is the gospel? What should we preach and teach? What is the truth that we should be sharing? Well, just as we read back a few moments ago in Mark chapter 16 and 15 and in the book of Matthew, we should preach and teach the gospel. We must teach the truth, that same truth that those people need to know. We need to preach Christ and Him crucified. We need to preach the story of Christ. We need to preach about His birth. His birth was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would sit on David's throne. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, Gabriel tells Mary that Jesus would sit on David's throne. We see that prophecy soon to be fulfilled. And we also see that there's a prophecy of the Messiah. Again, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah prophesies of a coming Emmanuel. And in the book of Micah, in chapter 5, there's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. We need to preach of Christ's birth because it's one of the most important events recorded in the Bible, because it is, in a sense, if you think about it a specific way, I guess, the beginning of the hope that is in us. It is the beginning of Christ's life that was prophesied years and years and years before it came. It was prophesied exactly how it would happen and who he would be, and his birth is the beginning of that happening. We should preach about Jesus' birth. We should also preach about his life, that he lived a perfect and sinless life. There are several scriptures in the New Testament that talk about this. One of them can be found in the book of 1 Peter. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, we can read the following. We're starting in a couple verses before. Starting in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life for us, so we could be that perfect sacrifice. Because that's what our sacrifice had to be. It had to be a perfect person. Another one can be found a few pages over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, where it is written, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." Jesus' life is so magnificent, at least in part, because he lived through life having the same temptations that you and I face, having the same lures to do wrong, but he endured all of them. He lived a sinless and he lived a perfect life. Jesus came and he ministered and he helped people in his life. He performed miracles to prove his deity during his lifetime on this earth, to prove that he was the one and only Son of God. Jesus came to die, but he lived to preach. Jesus did a lot of preaching. We'll talk about that more in a little bit when we talk about some other things. We need to preach about Jesus' life, because he put such an emphasis on sharing the truth with others. He put such an emphasis on knowing what you need to know and obeying what the Almighty has spoken. We need to preach also about his death. He endured the crucifixion, a cruel death that involved scourging, that involved a crown of thorns, having to carry his own cross, and then being hung on that cross to die in a slow and agonizing manner. And we read about his sacrifice dying in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 8 through 9, we can read about the sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ when it came to him dying. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, we read the following. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." I'm going to read through verse 11. "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. He humbled himself to the point of death, not any death, but to a cruel death on the cross for us. And because he did that, God exalted him to the highest degree, that every knee should bow before him, that his name would be above every name, that all should confess his name. He who brought himself to the lowest, who humbled himself below all people to be under the law, to die for us, him who put himself at the lowest was raised to the highest for what he did, for the humility that he showed, for the sacrifice that was made. We also need to preach about his resurrection. We read about this in several places in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, verses 23 through 24 is the place that I'm going to focus on right now, talking about the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, again, starting in verse 23 through 24, we read the following about the sacrifice that was made by Christ. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Jesus came and he died on the cross. He, as a fulfillment of what we read in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15, he came and he conquered death, and he conquered Satan by conquering death as well. He conquered Satan and death once and for all by raising from the dead. And it was that raising from the dead that proved once again, even beyond everything that he did while he was on this earth, that he truly was the Son of God. After preaching about Christ's life, after preaching about and teaching about his birth, the importance of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, we also need to share the truth about his forgiveness. It is because of that sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ that we have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins if we obey. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him, through Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood that was shed on the cross. Not according to our greatness or to our grace, but according to the riches of God's grace that he has offered us. By the grace of God and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. And that is the very truth that we need to be sharing with other people. Because there's a world full of millions and billions of people that are lost as the way that they are, and they don't know any better. They don't have the key. As a fellow beggar, they don't know where the bread can be found. That's why it's so important for us to share that truth, because we have the key, we have the opportunity, we know what the truth is, and it is our duty, and it is our privilege, and it is our honor to share that with them, because they are in need, truly in need. Why should we preach the gospel? Because it is a divine command, because people need the truth, because it is the example that Christ set for us. What is the gospel that we should preach? It's Christ and him crucified, the life that Christ lived, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his forgiveness. Once we know why we need to preach the truth, once we know what the truth is that we need to preach, next we need to talk about how should we preach and teach? How should we share that truth? Before we share the truth, we have to know and be familiar with the Word of God. We can read about this, or this idea, in the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read the following. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study God's word. We need to be sure that we are rightly dividing the word of truth. How can we share the truth with others if we don't know it ourselves, right? You don't have a science teacher that doesn't know science, and you don't have a math teacher who hasn't studied math. You need to know what you're talking about, and you need to know the truth if you're to present it to others. How are we to preach and teach? We should preach and teach like Jesus. Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever lived. Jesus did several things to make his teaching and preaching so effective. Jesus used parables and illustrations. Parables and illustrations, telling a story, the idea of visualizing something for someone, is a fantastic way to help them understand what it is that you're trying to convey. Jesus did this time and time again with parables to teach the people, to teach the apostles, and help them understand concepts that he was trying to convey to them. And we would be wise to try to use that same principle or that same teaching method when it comes to sharing the truth with others. There's no greater example to follow as a teacher, as a preacher, than Jesus Christ. And that is one of the powerful tools that he used. A parable is a story that is used to teach a lesson. Jesus used parables masterfully to teach people lessons. And we would, again, be wise to use that same benefit in teaching people. How should we preach and teach the gospel? We preach and teach through example, through living our lives in such a way that others can look at it and see that we're different. If we remember back to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, we can read words of Paul that share with us this principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul writes, "To imitate me just as I imitate Christ." The idea of Paul, in his best efforts, was doing what he could to follow the example of Christ. He was also living his life in such a way that others could imitate him in his following of Christ. We need to pattern our lives after Christ in such a way that others see us and see that we're different, that they want what we have, they want the faith that we have, that they try, that they see our example and also themselves try to imitate their lives after Christ. We teach each other by the examples that we set. If we remember Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, the idea that as we're in the world and when we're around people, people notice the things that we do. If you think in your friend group or the people that you know, you have people like, "Wow, he's really good at this. She's really good at this. He's a great example in this specific area. I've never met a stronger Christian than him." You have these dividers in your mind of different people, what their characteristics are, what their strengths and weaknesses are. People notice what other people do. People notice you and the decisions that you make. So when you stand for truth, someone notices that. When you decide not to go to the movie that the other kids want to go to that's rated R or rated PG-13 or it has things in it that you shouldn't watch, people notice that. When you make decisions to not go to the baseball game or go to the basketball game or whatever games are usually on Sundays or Wednesdays, when you make the decision to prioritize going to worship, people notice that. And it is by the way that we live our lives and prioritizing in that way that we can be an example to other people. We teach people through how we live our lives and the things that we do. How should we share the truth? We should share the truth and have the zeal to share the truth that Ezra did. If we remember from the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 10, it says the following, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Ezra not only had the desire to seek after the law of the Lord, to know what God's word said, he also had the desire to do it. Not to only know what the truth was, but to obey it, to obey God, to follow his words. And in addition to that, he had the desire to teach it to other people, because he knew what he had and what he was learning was valuable, and he knew the value of teaching it to other people. We need to have the attitude that Ezra had, not only the desire to seek to learn God's word, we need to seek to do God's word, just as Ezra did, and to seek to teach it, because we're commanded to teach. That's something we can't get around. That was the first verses we looked at in Mark and Matthew, the Great Commission. We have a command to teach and to preach the word to all people. We need to have the desire to do that, because again, it's not just our duty, it's our privilege and it's our honor to be able to stand before people and share the truth with them, whether it be in a preaching situation or being a teaching situation with your friend or with a family member or any case you might find yourself in. It is our privilege and our honor and our duty to share the truth with people in that way. We need to share the truth like Paul told Timothy. We turn to the book of 2 Timothy. If we consider the fourth chapter, the first two verses of the fourth chapter, we can learn a lesson about how we should preach and teach the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote the following to Timothy. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Timothy is not only told to be ready at any time to preach, when it's convenient for you, when it's not convenient for you, in season and out of season, always be ready to share the truth with others. He's also given four characteristics here, or four specific charges on how he's supposed to preach: to convince, to rebuke, to exhort, and to do so with long suffering. The idea of having patience with somebody, because not everybody's going to get it right away. Anyone that's had a lot of Bible studies or a lot of experience teaching can tell you just that. Not everybody, it's not going to click with everybody right off. Sometimes it takes people time and time again of hearing the same thing, of being invited time and time again to go to church services, of having that Bible study with them over the most basic of things, time and time again, before it will click with them or before they decide that it's something that is important to them. I know personally I can relate to the idea of having known something for a long time and then kind of all of a sudden you hear it in a specific way and you just understand it in a whole different way or in a whole different meaning. You comprehend it all of a sudden. We need to have patience with people when people are rude, when people are mean, when people have when people backlash, so to speak. We need to have patience with them. Remember the value of their soul, the value of who they are, and know that and remember that they need to know the truth. We need to be long suffering. Paul also says that he was to convince them. Another example of this can be found in the book of Acts, thinking about that idea of convincing or of persuasion, an important art when it comes to preaching and teaching and showing the truth to others. If we think to the book of Acts and in chapter 19, starting in verse 8, we can learn more about this very topic, another example of Paul. Again, remembering back to Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 9. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed with them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. It's the earlier part, the second part of that first sentence that I want to focus on, reasoning and persuading. It says that Paul spent time persuading them. The use of rhetoric is the art of persuasion, the art of using speech and using knowledge, kind of the skill of debating a little bit. Rhetoric is the art of persuasion, most simply put, the art of persuading the truth. The use of rhetoric is beneficial when teaching people the truth. We should try to be good at this art of sharing the truth with others. And an even better example, this is what Christ did. He was a fantastic teacher, the greatest teacher that ever lived. He was absolutely masterful in his use of rhetoric. You can see this especially when you look at the questions that he faced from the different classes of people, from the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians, the people that came to him with questions that they thought for sure would stump him. But his use and his ability to take that question and not only answer it, but turn it against them in a way that just absolutely made them unable to answer it or unable to kind of put them in a lose-lose situation. His ability to do that and use rhetoric is absolutely amazing to me specifically. People talk about if you could go back and see or witness one thing in the Bible, what would it be? People talk about witnessing the creation, the flood. I genuinely think for me it would be watching Jesus debate with people. I think that would be so incredibly interesting because the way he goes about doing that is just, I don't know, it blows my mind. That's something that I particularly find super interesting. The art of persuasion is incredibly valuable when it comes to teaching people and the gospel and preaching to people. His desire to share the truth with people, or our desire should be to share the truth with people in the way that Jesus did and tried to do. Lastly, I'm going to think back to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter in verse 9. Jeremiah said the following: I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah, a man that decided in his mind, decided he was no longer going to share the truth. He was no longer going to preach. He was no longer going to share the truth with other people. And it says it was like a burning fire shut up in his bones. He had such a strong desire to share with other people that he literally couldn't do it, even when he decided he wanted to stop. We should strive to have the kind of zeal that Jeremiah did to preach and to teach the gospel. His desire to share the truth with people was so strong that he couldn't keep it from them, even if he tried. Brothers and sisters, we are a preaching and a teaching people.
Amen.
We should preach and teach because it is a divine command. We should preach and teach because people need to know the truth, because they're lost without it, because that is the example that Jesus set for us. Because as evangelists, we are the beggars that have found bread, and we have the key. We have the opportunity to show others that same truth. What should we preach and teach? We preach and teach Christ and Him crucified, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and the forgiveness that He offers to people. How should we preach and teach? Before we share the truth, we have to know the truth. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to preach and teach like Jesus did. We would be wise to use the tactics that he did, thinking of parables and illustrations and the art of using a story to convey a powerful point. We should teach through example of how we live our lives. We should teach like Ezra did. We should have the desire to seek the law of the Lord, to do the law of the Lord, and to teach the law of the Lord. We should try to become skilled in rhetoric and how to persuade people of what the truth is, not telling them what I think is true, but telling them what the word of the Lord says. And we should have the desire to preach to others that Jeremiah had. The word of God should be like a burning fire shut up in our bones. We need to have that strong will. We need to understand how and what severe danger the world is in. That those people have souls that will last forever, and that so many of them are in danger and are in the state of being lost. As we start to come to a close in remembering why we teach the truth, what the truth is that we teach, and how we should share the truth, we need to remember that it is our duty, our honor, and our privilege to show others the truth. And remember that we can't force them to believe. We can't force somebody to understand something. I think that's also something that someone who's taught a little bit or been a teacher for a long time can share with you. Sometimes there's people that no matter how hard you try, no matter how much time you spend with them, no matter how many times you go over the same thing, some people just will refuse to understand or will not understand. We read about this situation in the book of Luke in chapter 9 and verse 5. Jesus told them to shake the dust off their feet if the people refuse to hear them. And sometimes we need to be willing to do the same, to not get too bogged down in the person that has rejected you or rejected God's word. We need to be willing to realize that there's a world full of people and all of them need to hear the truth. It is often the case, especially for me, if I think back in my life and the opportunity that I've had, that I've not always had the zeal of Jeremiah, that I've not always had the attitude that Ezra had, that I've not always had the desire to share the truth with others that I should have. There's been people that I've met that I could have said something, but I didn't. People that I've been around or friends that I've had that I could have done more, and I didn't. I think I can speak for most of us when I say it's my desire to not have that happen anymore, to not let those opportunities slide, to pass on, because, again, not only should we desire to share the truth with others, but we are commanded to by the words, by the mouth of Jesus himself. If it is the case that you're here tonight and you realize, or looking back in your life or in the attitude that you have, realize that you don't have the desire for sharing the word that you have, if you have the desire to seek encouragement, that's one of the many blessings that we have in the church, is to seek encouragement and strength from each other. You'll have that opportunity in a moment. brothers and sisters, as the church, we are a preaching and a teaching people because we have the truth. We have the key. We have the cure. And it is our duty, it is our privilege, and it is our honor to share that truth with others. It could be the case that you're here tonight and you haven't heard that truth before. If you'd like to learn more about it, I guarantee you, you have a room full of people that would be more than willing to talk to you about it. Someone who hasn't accepted or been baptized yet, if you've thought about that recently, if anything that's been said today has brought that into your mind, again, plenty of people here would be more than willing to have that conversation with you. If you have the need to come forward and ask for prayers or encouragement or have any other need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.